yesterday, two arts and antiquities experts spoke with us about the museum looting and how the objects might be recovered. John Malcolm Russell is a professor at the Massachusetts College of Art and author of Stolen Stones, The Modern Sack of Nineveh. He was in his office in Boston. Neil Brody is coordinator of the Illicit Antiquities Research Center, and he joined us from his office at the University of Cambridge in England. Dr. Brody began by explaining the outlines of the black market in antiquities.
It's an underground activity, so it's very hard to be specific. I think in the case of Iraq, Iraq has these land frontiers with other countries which are obviously unpoliced, so it's quite easy to imagine material moving out, say, through Jordan, perhaps into Israel. There's a legal antiquities market in Israel, in Jerusalem, where antiquities could be sold quite easily and legally. It's also possible to imagine material moving out into Turkey, say, in the north, and from there on into Europe.
Professor Russell, your own experience with one of the treasures at Nineveh might be an object lesson here. Could you tell that story to us?
In 1989, I was working at Nineveh in northern Iraq, right next to modern Mosul. There was a site museum of the palace of Sennacherib on the site. A number of sculptures hadn't been photographed. I photographed everything I saw there in 89. Well, then, of course, in 90, Iraq closed down, and it became impossible for scholars to go back and do that kind of research. Then in 1995, I got a photograph from a museum in Israel of an object that they had been offered on loan, and it was exactly one of the pieces that I had photographed at Nineveh, now apparently outside of Iraq. The museum agreed not to exhibit it and to inform the owner that it was stolen and should be returned, but it wasn't possible to trace the owner, and so I published the piece as missing, probably circulating, and waited to see what would happen. The piece then surfaced a year later when its current owner tried to export it from England, and English export law requires that any old pieces, any old possibly heritage objects, be approved by a committee. The committee recognized this as stolen based on my publications and seized it. Eventually, a settlement was reached where the government of Iraq agreed to reimburse the owner for his expenses and took possession of the piece again. Took it back to Baghdad. I've seen it published as being in Baghdad, but of course, for all I know, it's back out on the market again now after the looting last week. The most significant feature of this whole transaction to me was that the dealer who sold the piece claimed to have gotten it from a source in Iraq. He claimed that even though he was Lebanese, operating out of Belgium, that he'd sold the piece in Switzerland to a Israeli collector who was operating out of London. And the astonishing thing here is that the transaction, they insisted it took place in Switzerland. Swiss law is very, very soft on selling stolen property and tends to protect the buyers of stolen property.
Dr. Brody, what do you think of the idea of an amnesty and a reward program?
I think an amnesty is a good idea, provided no money changes hands, because if money changes hands, you create a market and the problem persists. But I think if you allow people to hand in material without pressing any kind of charge, I think that's fine.
But given the fact that a market already exists for this material, could not a reward program get the material back into legitimate hands more quickly?
Yeah, but one could argue if the market didn't exist, the museum wouldn't have been looted. If you persist in buying material, we may well get the objects back from Baghdad Museum, but we will equally see the continued plunder of archaeological sites through Iraq. So you have to think that one through very carefully.
Professor Russell, what do you think of a reward program?
This is something I'd love to discuss with Dr. Brody. I think personally that a very small reward offered within the country for objects that, where the understanding is that it's not enough to encourage looting, and I agree that it's very difficult to peg what that number would be, but the Iraq Antiquities Department has been doing a program like this. They could perhaps determine what a small enough amount would be that would encourage people in Baghdad who pick things up to bring things back without encouraging them to go out and dig up more. One requirement might be that things have museum numbers on them. Make it clear that you're giving a reward for things from the museum, and that's all. I fully agree, though, that to offer rewards outside the country sets a very bad precedent, at least, and that's not a good idea, because that will generate a flow of objects out of Iraq and into the market.
I actually agree with what you say about rewards. You know, if small amounts of money below the market value are offered in Iraq, I mean, I think that would be productive. I'm more worried, really, about ideas in Europe or North America where people can turn objects in for something like market value.
And I've wondered about that, too. Let's say, though, it's the face of the woman from Warka, you know, a really famous piece. If you made it clear that you were going to buy known pieces, that you were going to ransom them, essentially,
yeah,
that also has problems associated because that would stimulate art theft for ransom. But it doesn't stimulate the market in plunder, it seems to me.
John Malcolm Russell is the chair of the Critical Studies Department at the Massachusetts College of Art. Neil Brody is coordinator of the Illicit Antiquities Research Center in London. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.